Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From our Gospel reading, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is our text. To be in the dark is truly terrifying. Darkness, you might remember, was the ninth plague that God sent to Egypt, a darkness to be felt, thick and heavy and cold. We're told that they didn't see one another, nor did they rise from his place, from their place, for 3 whole days. Darkness is like that. It's isolating. It paralyzes. Isaiah describes death as a covering that is cast over all peoples, as a veil that is spread over all nations. Death is like a heavy blanket, smothering and stifling the entire earth, blocking out the source of light and life. Scripture connects sin with darkness. Evil happens in the dark. Darkness causes people to stumble. The devil's reign is known as the domain of darkness, and hell itself is called the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. To be in the dark means to have no clue about what's happening, to be powerless, to be subject to the plans and will of others, to be without direction or guidance, to have no idea what step to take next. Darkness can describe our minds and our emotions when we have darkness inside. Darkness is why eclipses and storms are so eerie. Children are rightly afraid of the dark, but they're not the only ones, are they? And where's the darkest place you've ever been? For me, the physically darkest place I've ever been was the Mammoth Caves in Kentucky. After going through tunnels and down staircases, the tour guide sat us on a bench in a large cavern. And then click, they turned out all the lights. It was the deepest black I've ever seen. Not a pinprick of the faintest light. No shadows, no shades of black or gray. No emergency exit signs, at least that I recall, or smoke detector lights. Just pure black nothingness. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. You couldn't see the stone beneath your feet. You couldn't see the neighbor next to you. It's as if the sense of sight were entirely gone, blind. My eyes blinked, and still I saw nothing. And I felt alone, isolated, paralyzed, in deep dread. What if they left us there? What if they left me there, in darkness? What is darkness? It's simply the absence of light. It's the void that remains when light is extinguished. When the electricity goes out and the power lights on our gadgets fade and the numbers disappear from our digital clocks. When the sun and the moon and the stars are snuffed out. That's darkness. Into the darkness is where Jesus goes. When he heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, the darkest region. He went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now picture here the geography of Israel, the Sea of Galilee in the north. And the region of Galilee was the first stop for every invading army that came from the north. The Assyrians and the Babylonians, when they came, they marched down the road from Damascus and skirted the west side of the Sea of Galilee. It would have walked right through where Capernaum is. This was the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. The first to feel the wrath, the first to feel the sharp edge of iron weapons, the first to have their sons and their daughters dragged away to foreign lands as slaves. It was no accident that Jesus began his ministry there, right there, among the people dwelling in darkness, in the region and shadow of death. Jesus withdrew into Galilee in order to shine. Because where does light shine the brightest? But where it's darkest. And all it takes in the dark is a single candle, a small lamp, a little flashlight to send the night scurrying. But this is no small light. Isaiah calls him a great light. A light has dawned, the beginning of a new day, the rising sun scattering the darkness. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And no one puts a light under a basket. The first to see that light were the people of Galilee. Dark, backwards, lowly Galilee. There the basket is lifted. There the fire blazes. There the light shines. God incarnate, man divine. In Jesus, in his humanity, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and the divine light, light of light, shines forth. Our season of Epiphany celebrates this shining forth of the divine light. Jesus is revealed as God's Son at his baptism. Jesus does the works of God in his ministry. He turns water into wine. He heals the sick. He rules nature by his command. Jesus teaches as God. He opens his mouth and he speaks, "Truly, truly, I say to you." So look at him and listen to him. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When the light shines, it calls us to repentance. It calls us to renounce and turn from our sin and to believe in him. Of what do you need to repent today? What have you been keeping in the dark or hiding or squirreling away? What have you been harboring and nursing inside yourself? What thoughts? What words? What deeds? What is it that's been isolating you? What is it that's been paralyzing you? There should be no divisions among you, St. Paul writes, but instead there's quarreling among you, rudeness, fighting. Each of us chasing our own ideas, each of us chasing our own agendas. Too often we follow ourselves and not him. But now, today, the light has come. It shines on you. Repent. And it's good for these things to be exposed. It's good for these darknesses inside of us to be brought out into the light. The preaching of the law is a light that shows our sins. And by it, we see ourselves accurately. We see ourselves truly. To deny our sin or to hide our sin is to live in the darkness. But to confess our sin is to live in the light. Not in the light of our own works, not in the light of our own righteousness, but to live in the light that comes from Christ. For the kingdom of heaven is near. It's at hand. The kingdom that's found wherever the king is present, where he rules, the kingdom comes. The kingdom is at hand. And when I say the kingdom of heaven, I don't simply mean the kingdom of God's power, where he rules over everything all the time, but his kingdom of grace, where the favor of God shines on his people in Christ, where he rules with steadfast mercy and forgiveness and puts our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Wherever the light of Christ is, There is the kingdom of heaven. And it was there in Galilee, even though they said, search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. Perhaps no prophet arises from Galilee, but God arises from Galilee. The kingdom of heaven was there by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus saw two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, and the light shone on them while they were casting a net into the sea. Follow me, he said, and I will make you fishers of men. And James and John, too, were called, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed the light. Whatever the darkness in your life, whether the darkness of sin or the darkness of suffering or the darkness of sorrow, stay close to the light. Follow him. He will illuminate your path. He will lead you and he will guide you, even through the ups and the downs of daily life, through change and challenge, through joys and loss. He is there for you day by day. He is here for you. The light was there in Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people like a divine radiation. The kingdom of heaven met all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Those were signs of the kingdom. They were evidence that God was there, there in the flesh of Jesus Christ. They were rays extending from the light. But make no mistake, when you hear about all of these healings, Jesus is the light of the world, whether or not he heals your particular illnesses or mine. Our Lord didn't say, follow the healings. He said, follow me. What he does promise is this: I will never leave you nor forsake you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He promises to be near, to be at hand. He promises to see you through. He promises the kingdom of heaven in himself. And now today, right here, you are given the same light that Galilee was given. Though we dwell in the same darkness, both in ourselves and in our world, we too have seen a great light. The light that no darkness can overcome, not even the darkness of sin or the darkness of death or the darkness of the devil. Not even when the darkness covered the whole land, from noon to 3 p.m. on a Friday outside Jerusalem. Not even when the king hung on a cross and he cried out of that darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, it was dark, all right, there on the cross. And it was dark there in the tomb. But we don't need to rage against the dying of the light. For in that dark cavern, in the isolation and the paralysis of that darkness, he stood up. He rose from the dead on the third day. The light blazed forth, and he called out of the darkness, come with me. Come and follow. At times you may feel the darkness. At times you may see the darkness. It may be isolating and it may be paralyzing, but you don't belong to the darkness. You are of the light. You have been transferred to the kingdom of the beloved Son. And even if you have no clue what's happening, the one who died and rose again does. He knows. Even though you may feel powerless, he is powerful with all the power of God and with all the mercy of love. You may feel subject to the plans and the will of others, but you pray with him, thy will be done, and the good and gracious will of God is done. You may have no idea what step to take next, but he's strong enough to carry you on his shoulders, no matter where that next step may lead. A great light shines in the darkness, the light of Christ, not just in Galilee, but right here in Westminster. God still rules with his grace and mercy. Because Jesus died and rose again, the light shines on you. Your sins are forgiven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. From the dark night of his betrayal to your mouth, he gives his body and his blood. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today you stand in the light. So cast off the works of darkness and walk in the light, baby step by baby step. And he removes the paralysis. He gets us moving. And by the light, look upon your neighbor and see them and follow Jesus in love, because he removes the isolation. Be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Yes, I know how much darkness there is, but Jesus Christ is and ever shall be the light of the world. The city that is above, the city whose gates we look forward to seeing, that city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb in the city of God. Amen.